A Kind Voice Radio.
Should I press mute?
Hello and welcome to A Kind Voice on Employment, Opportunity, and Innovation. I'm David Levins.
And I'm Jessica Grinspan.
And today we're delighted to have a group of people who employ their time helping the homeless.
Yes. So tonight we're incredibly thrilled to be speaking with the lovely folks at Plymouth Healing Communities, a nonprofit organization in Seattle that provides companionship, affordable housing, and advocacy to those who have struggled with homelessness and mental illness. Plymouth Healing Communities Housing Initiative reduces the use of high-cost services such as hospital emergency rooms, detoxification services, shelters, and jails. The organization strives to destigmatize mental illness and create communities that are less fearful and more complete. Tonight, we'll hear from Jacob Duvenga, Program Coordinator for Plymouth Healing Communities, and we'll also have the opportunity to hear directly from some other folks who make this initiative possible. Together, the staff, companions, and residents foster connections and inspire each other to become lifelong mental health advocates. Jacob, welcome to the show. How are you doing?
I'm doing well, yeah. Thanks for having us.
Yeah, excellent. So could you begin maybe by giving us a brief overview of Plymouth Healing Communities and what you guys do?
Yes. So we work in supportive housing for individuals who have lived experience of mental illness and homelessness. We began with a respite house, a transitional housing program for folks coming out of psychiatric hospitalization, many times transitioning from homelessness or a recent mental health crisis. And in the last 17 years, we've also grown into permanent supportive housing, which we have a few different properties around the Seattle area, and we have volunteer programs in which we pair volunteers with different folks that live in our properties, or we host community events, just ways for people to engage together and build community and have support.
Perfect.
So, yeah.
Okay. Could you tell us a little bit about what your role is with Plymouth Healing Communities?
Yeah. So I oversee the transitional housing program that I was talking about earlier. It's called House of Healing. Mm-hmm. And we have 8 bedrooms in the house, and 4 are designated for residents and 4 for live-in staff. And the model of care is companionship, which for us just means walking alongside each other, building authentic relationships, and really, really sort of treating each person with dignity and respect. And in my role, I'm mostly just overseeing the program, supporting the live-in staff and also the residents while they're here.
Oh, I love that. How did you get involved?
I had actually been in grad school for social work and had just graduated and saw a job posting for the position. And it really, really struck me as an organization that I wanted to work for. The mission and the program, House of Healing, really appealed to me, mostly because of getting to work with people in such a genuine way and just focusing on relationships rather than having to be in more of a professional clinical role as a social worker. And also the fact that I get to work in a house. I didn't know that when I was applying, but I get to work in a house that people live in, which makes my workday quite pleasant, really.
Yeah, interesting. That's great. I want to get a little bit into how the House of Healing works, the process of connecting with your residents. Could you give an overview of the process from the first contact with an individual who will become a resident to them becoming part of the transitional home?
Yeah. We get referrals from Harborview, which is a public hospital for King County. And the referrals are often coming from the inpatient mental health department or the outpatient mental health department there. My supervisor, Chris, who I think we might hear from on this interview, also, she often goes out and meets people and has the first sort of contact and just sort of explains what the program is about, makes sure that they feel comfortable with the idea of living with other people in a communal space. And then when people arrive the first day, it's usually just making sure that they get settled in a way that's comfortable for them, you know, just like moving into or you know, arriving at any new place as a guest in a sense, but they are being welcomed. They are being asked about, you know, what foods do you like, or, you know, making sure that they have what they need for their bedroom. If they are coming from the hospital, sometimes they don't have a toothbrush. Maybe they just have a couple items of clothing. You know, getting them oriented to the neighborhood. So those are kind of the basic things. And then from there, it's just kind of evolved.
Yeah. How long does the process take from the time that they express interest and the time that they move in?
It just really depends. I mean, we tend to, if we have an opening at the house, we will let Harborview know, and then they might get back to us within a week or two about somebody that they think would be a good fit. And then, like I said, Chris goes and talks to them, and it could be within another couple days to a week that they arrive. So usually the turnaround can be, you know, less than a month. And then they're at the house for anywhere from, traditionally it's been 3 to 6 months. So.
Okay. At the rest, at the House of Healing.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I'm curious. What does the House of Healing look like on the outside and inside? Could you give a description for our listeners?
Yeah. It's over 100 years old, the house itself. And, I think it's a, what you would call kind of a craftsman style. It's not maybe a true craftsman, but it's actually got a porch, a big white porch in front with the columns, you know, and then and it's also up above, it's up off the street. So you go up some steps, there's a porch, there's a red door. We often tell people it's the house with the red door. You come in, and there's a staircase up to the second floor, and there's a living room and a dining room and a kitchen at the center of the house. And there's lots of different artwork.
That
have been donated. There's some pictures that a former resident took with his camera. There's a beautiful garden outside. I shouldn't pass that up. We have a lovely garden that is really taken tended to by a former resident who is now a volunteer. She's put a lot of work into the garden and the landscaping, growing flowers and vegetables, fruit. And there's eight bedrooms total, and a basement with a meditation room, and I mean, it's a home in every sense.
Yeah, that's really important. And I like how you have it as kind of a multi-sensory experience with the gardens and the artwork. Do the residents take care of the garden?
I mean, if they want to, I think some people have gotten involved. But, yeah, Marcy is her name. She's really been she was here several years ago as a resident, but she is now acting as a volunteer, and she's really the leader of taking care of the garden. But I think she likes to get people involved. She likes to get help with weeding, or even if people just want to enjoy the harvest, you know, she likes to share everything with as many people as possible.
Yeah, getting people, fostering community and fostering the earth. So what do the bedrooms look like? Do the residents share living space with each other? Or I guess share bedrooms with each other?
Everyone has their own bedroom.
Okay.
And the bedrooms are kind of, they're all kind of different. It's because it's an older home that was remodeled when we first bought the house, the organization first bought the house. But they do all have a sink and a mirror and, you know, the same kind of furniture, a dresser and a desk and a bed, a twin bed. And we have traditionally put a quilt on every single bed in the house. There's a quilting group at a church that actually originally some members of the church are the ones who founded the organization, who bought this house and began this whole project. And there's a quilting group at this church and donated over the years. And people get to leave with a quilt, the quilt that was on their bed when they arrived. So everyone has their own room. They're probably, they're medium sized. They're not large, but they're not small either. I mean,
gotcha.
They're comfortable.
Yeah. And in terms of what they do during the day, what kind of activities do they do? What does a typical day look like for the residents of the Healing House?
I think a lot of folks have their own sort of things that they are up and about to do. I mean, a lot of people will go out and they have, you know, appointments, or they just like to be out and about in town. Maybe some people end up wanting to go back to work, and so they're looking for work.
Oh, yeah.
Some people are involved in some sort of activity or membership of something, volunteering. But then there's other folks who might spend more time at the house, and they might be reading or just kind of visiting with other people, watching TV or movies.
Are there any training opportunities or educational opportunities for them at the house?
We will totally engage with what people are interested in doing. We don't have anything sort of structured to have that ongoing. It's just sort of what people are interested in, and what we, the folks who are residential staff, what they bring with them. If they have interests or hobbies that they want to share with other people, we're always encouraging everybody to kind of share what they enjoy doing together.
So that people can have.
Harborview, who we partner with, they provide a lot of groups and different kinds of resources, classes, you could say, over at their drop-in center. So that's kind of where people can go for that stuff.
Excellent. Well, we're going to take a quick break and then come back and talk about our community companion program. So we'll be right back.
The alchemy of kindness is one that we believe. When we reach out to each other, you know we both receive.
Hi, I'm Bruce Grammel, one of the original hosts on A Kind Voice Radio. My song, The Alchemy of Kindness, is about the good things that happen when kind voices come together. What you're about to hear is a message from Claire Bloom, who is using her kind voice to feed hungry children. We hope that you'll help Claire with her mission and make our world a kinder, more connected place, one act at a time.
Hi, I'm Claire Bloom. In 2011, I started End 68 Hours of Hunger in an effort to overcome childhood hunger right here in America. There are more than 16 million children in America who are hungry. Between the free lunch they get in school on Friday and the free breakfast they get in school on Monday, And what we know is that if we feed these children on the weekend, they can achieve 50% higher reading scores, 30% higher math scores, and are twice as likely to successfully complete the third grade, which is a primary indicator of high school graduation. To find out more, I'd love for you to be in contact with me. We have a website at www.end68hoursofhunger.org, or you can email me directly at n68hoursofhunger@gmail.com. I'd love to hear from you. Thanks.
A Kind Voice Radio.
And welcome back to A Kind Voice on Employment, Opportunity, and Innovation. I'm David Levins.
And I'm Jessica Grinspan, and right now we're talking to Jacob Suvenga of Plymouth Healing Communities. So, Jacob, before the break, we were talking about the transitional housing, the House of Healing. I wanted to get a little bit more into the Community Companions Program. So could you give us an overview of what that entails?
Certainly. So as the organization grew, began to acquire other properties, and people who were coming through House of Healing were moving into other permanent housing, and there was a desire for people to stay in contact with us, to be supportive community, and so we began to have, I think it was first just an individual community companion who met with people. They would just meet up to get coffee or go for a walk, maybe go to an appointment with them, you know, whatever people sort of identify that they would like to do, either, you know, social or something they needed help with. And then a bit much other volunteers were brought in to help with that. And then it's kind of just grown into, yeah, people meeting one-on-one with residents or former residents or groups of volunteers hosting events at different properties or outings to the zoo or the aquarium or a picnic to a movie. We had a lot of people. I think one of our big events for this year was actually for a movie earlier this year. A lot of people wanted to go see, and we had, I think, almost 20 people attend that. So,
Wow.
Just kind of getting... providing ways for people to sort of have a sense of community with each other, whether they live in the same building or maybe they knew each other. A lot of people have met each other through House of Healing, and even if they don't live in the house anymore, they like to stay, you know, in contact with each other. So,
right.
Yeah.
Okay. So how do you match a companion with an individual resident?
It's usually just, you know, we meet with a eligible volunteer and kind of get to know their interests, and then we have some folks maybe in mind that are looking for to be paired with a volunteer, and we just try to match somewhat based on interests or sort of compatibility. You know, if someone is not exactly super talkative, we're not necessarily going to pair them up with someone who's very, very talkative.
Right.
We might try to find just something that is complementary, but also maybe sort of brings out something interesting in each other. We can't always predict, so we just kind of work with people. And, usually the first time of introducing people, you know, I would be there or one of my colleagues would be there with the volunteer and the resident, and we would just sort of meet up at a coffee place or somewhere else and just kind of get to know each other very sort of informal ways. And it kind of just goes from there, and it's very organic.
Yeah. The companions actually live in the House of Healing with the residents. Is that correct?
Yeah, there's four. There have been traditionally four live-in companions at House of Healing.
Okay. And how do you go about finding the companions usually, or how do they find you?
think a number of people have come to us through sort of just online job sites like, you know, Idealist or Volunteer Match, or they hear about us through word of mouth or through school. We try to advertise through universities. It's maybe through their other Surface Corps works, you know, AmeriCorps or some of the other Surface Corps that are around. They might hear about us and then choose to do another year of service with us.
Okay. Could you give us an example or provide some sort of success story of a companion and a resident relationship?
I think a success would be sort of, you know, just I can think of two people who have been sort of meeting together for, I think, about 2 years, and they initially, I think when they were introduced, it was just sort of, it often is kind of awkward. I mean, as it is for many people meeting each other, there's sort of a not being very sure about who this other person is or what, am I going to like this person? Are they going to like me? Basically, these two hit it off pretty quickly, and I think part of that is just that the volunteer is a very, very relaxed presence, is a very welcoming presence, and the other person, who is a former resident of one of our properties, had I think she just is also a very easy person to get to know, and so they hit it off, and I think their big enjoyment together has been playing cards and just meeting for coffee, or I think it's often actually Arnold Palmer's, you know, the lemonade iced tea, and they play cards together, and they sometimes go to a museum or do something a little different, but I think mostly it's just playing cards together, and for a good stretch, they've just been meeting almost weekly, but sometimes it's twice a month, and they really just connect. They just are very close in that sense of like knowing someone for 2 years, seeing them almost, you know, two or four times a month. So
So it creates kind of a lasting relationship. And I would think that that also helps people who have been discharged from hospitalization, who are maybe struggling with their social skills. It helps them move forward in the community and gives them confidence. Would you say that's the case?
Yeah, I mean, I think our biggest thing that we have seen is that, or I guess not even just us, but what is generally kind of understood is that people experiencing trauma or mental illness or even issues with addiction, they often become isolated. Homelessness makes that even worse, and if someone experiences that too much of that isolation, it becomes even more difficult to sort of connect with people again or relate or feel like people will relate to you. And we really just want to make that less of a fraught experience for people to be able to restore their own humanity in a sense that's very positive for them.
So it built a sense of hope. How would you say that the companion program helps reduce the stigma of mental illness and homelessness?
I think having volunteers involved partly is a way for us to engage with the larger Seattle community. And I think in some ways that's part of just helping to destigmatize homelessness and mental illness. People who volunteer end up, we don't require people to have, you know, prior experience with working with mental health or working in, you know, direct services. And so it's really a chance for people who might have no prior experience to really learn and connect with people who have lived experience of homelessness or mental illness. And,
yeah, shared experiences. That's great.
Yeah, just
I want to touch
bridge
on.
That gap.
Go ahead.
Oh, sorry. Just trying to bridge that gap of the difference, you know, of what people might assume about
right.
people, and versus what people are really like.
So it kind of helps the companions, the volunteers, look beyond the labels and build their own experience. I wanted to touch quickly on the Global Giving Program. Could you talk a little bit about that for the community companions and how people can give?
Yeah, so the campaign is funding our companionship program directly. We try to reimburse volunteers for expenses that they
mm-hmm.
have. Some volunteers choose to donate the cost of, buying coffee for someone they're meeting up with or for taking them out to some event or transportation. We also, at the House of Healing, there's the cost of just running the house, which is more significant, and that includes covering food for everyone in the house, the live-in staff and the residents, and I think we also provide a stipend for the live-in staff, just different events that we hold. We have like a Thanksgiving dinner that's actually open to the whole community. We host even events for the whole community throughout the year. We have like a summer picnic.
That's great.
Usually try to do something in the winter as well.
Yeah. Okay, so how can people get in touch with you and Plymouth Healing Communities if they want to get involved?
Our website is a great place to go, but you can also follow us through Facebook, Instagram. I think we have a Twitter account too, but I'm not sure if there's as much action happening there, but Facebook. And then our website is www.plyhc.org. And there's a lot of information there about companionship, about our supportive housing property management, and how to get involved as a volunteer, how to donate. So I think that's a good place.
Perfect. Okay. Thanks, Jacob. We have to take another break, but when we come back, we'll hear from a resident and a volunteer companion. We'll be right back. Hi everyone, this is Brandon Scher. Welcome to the Good News Report, where we deliver happy and exciting news from all over the world. Today's story comes from Fort Smith, Arkansas, where a 69-year-old retired nurse, Charla Tidwell, is doing something a little more than sitting on the couch and watching TV. Charla is using her pension to run a food pantry she started and is working there 6 days a week without getting paid. Tidwell feeds 7,000 people a month, handing out 500,000 meals a year through her Antioch for Youth and Family group. Charlotte commented, "I was raised in poverty, and I understand all the issues that go along with not having enough money." Initially, she started the charity in 2000 after retiring and learning that seniors in her community were eating cat and dog food. She commented, "I wanted to continue if anything happens to me. I just believe it will happen." This is definitely one of my favorite stories, and I absolutely admire Charlotte for going out and doing so much good for her community. Not only is she helping those in need, but she's also empowering and inspiring the youth of the community to do the same. A very great story. To go along with this story, I have decided to choose a quote of the week that I heard from one of my mentors at a poetry workshop that I attend. The first ingredient
of love is self-love. I hope you guys all enjoyed this report, and I really hope that this story has inspired you more this week. Thank you all for listening, and I will see you all next time. Take care.
A Kind Voice Radio.
Hello, and welcome back to A Kind Voice on Employment, Opportunity, and Innovation. I'm David Levins.
And I'm Jessica Grinspan, and today we're talking to members of the Plymouth Healing Communities, including companions, residents, and staff, who bring together the people living with homelessness and mental illness and the community. Right now, we're going to meet one of our residents of Plymouth, of the transitional housing, I believe. Beth, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Hi, Beth. Are you living in the House of Healing? Is that correct?
I was living in the House of Healing. I moved out about 10 months ago.
Okay.
But I was in Harborview, and then after my Harborview hospital stay, I went into the House of Healing for 7 months.
Okay. Could you go through your experience coming from the Harbor House or Harbor Healing to the House of Healing?
Sure. I was inpatient in Harborview Hospital, and after a month and a half there, there was an opening at House of Healing, and I was lucky enough to be able to come in, and I definitely couldn't have healed the way I have and moved forward without the house here. They were just so giving and loving and non-judgmental. It was really a godsend. I was glad that I was chosen to come to the house. It's been really wonderful.
Yeah. So then after you left the Healing House, you moved on to, are you in the supportive housing now?
I'm in a community living still, just right around the block. It's still part of Plymouth Healing Communities. It's a house, but it's like I have my own room, and then there's six other bedrooms, and then we share the rest of the house, all of us. And,
okay.
Yeah,
and so what kind of activities do you participate in during the day?
Where I'm at right now?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm in an intensive outpatient program with women at Harborview 3 days a week, and I'm connected with a case manager, and I have I've made a lot of friends through House of Healing, and we do activities with them. They have dinners and brunches, and so I stay pretty close to them and all the friends I've made. It's just been a real transition, a real positive turn in my life, for sure.
Yeah. And what are your goals moving forward?
Well, I'd love to be able to give back, because I've been given so much to come out of where I was at, and I couldn't have done it without the help of Plymouth Healing. So I'm looking at opportunities where maybe I could give back some of my time, maybe becoming a companion in a way that I could do like one-on-one with some person that's come out of the same place where I was at. And it would feel good to know that I could help somebody out, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. That's very important. So did you have a companion you worked with when you first started at the Healing House?
I did. Well, we all, when I was at House of Healing, you know, there's four companions and two on all the time. So you connect with everybody. And there's one person especially that I stayed through my 7 months at House of Healing. And then when I went into my other house, where I rent a room, she came there and was a companion there, and we've just really developed a treasured friendship, and I do a lot of things with her. And I come back to the House of Healing all the time and connect with other people that were companions and residents, and I have some really special friendships happening. It's been good.
Yes. Great sense of community.
It is.
How would you say you've evolved on a personal level from the time you entered the Healing House to now, especially with the support of Plymouth Healing Communities?
Well, I had a lot of trust issues, and I just was very insecure, and they were just, it was like they just put their arms around me and helped me out every step of the way. And I was able to grow in my self-confidence and my trust issues with all of them. I mean, there was no judgment. They just, you know, there's always somebody available here at the house that you can go and talk to if you're feeling, you know, one way or the other. I couldn't have done it with this house. You know, some of the places, you go and you're on your own. And this was just really a lot of TLC that I needed. And I've just really gotten a lot more confidence and have done really, really well, I think.
It's great to hear that. And it's also wonderful to hear your goals of giving back. Very inspiring. Of like your survivor mission.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's really inspiring. Do you have any other stories to tell us from your experience?
Well, I just, I have three grown boys, and what I was going through and stuff, it was really scary for them and everybody. And, you know, I have four grandkids, and just everybody it was scary. And they've come to the house and have met the people at House of Healing and stuff. And it's just, they're very proud to see where their moms, you know, where I was at and what I've, you know, come from. And they're just really happy and secure with where I'm at. And, I can't say a negative thing.
Well, it's great to hear that you've built that strength over time and now you're willing to give back. I'd like to talk to one of Plymouth Healing Community's volunteer companions. We have Sanjay, I believe, who's going to tell
Hello.
Us a little bit about his experience. Sanjay, hi, how are you?
Very good. How are you?
Doing well. Can you tell us a little bit about how you got involved as a volunteer companion?
Sure. I was just looking at volunteering opportunities in the area, in this broader Seattle area. And as I was looking at them, I felt like I was really looking for something that had more of a personal connection component, you know, as opposed to helping an organization, say, on the logistical side or funding side. I was just feeling drawn to work directly, you know, to do my volunteering where I was directly connecting with people. And so I kind of narrowed down my search. I just used, just a web search and looked at NGOs in the area. And I was very lucky that, you know, very soon I was able to get it down to a couple of different organizations that I felt like really matched what I was looking for. And in fact, helped me even define better what I was looking for to be, because this is my first significant volunteering experience. I'm spending many hours, you know, in a week volunteering in this role. And so Plymouth and the description of, you know, of just Plymouth on the website that Jacob mentioned, I think, has a very good description of what really companionship is about, right? And it's not really about, you know, it's about just being there, you know, in openness and attention. And really, I can say that, you know, that there's no expectations of, you know, how as a companion I'm going to necessarily help somebody except that I'm going to be there. And that has you know, that just that process of being open and being available, I think has been wonderful for everybody. It's been wonderful for me. Of course, you know, I enjoy it a lot and I benefit a lot from it, as to the people as you know, other companions and residents who I interact with. To go back. So I just found it through a web search, and then I just connected, and they told me about the different volunteer opportunities. And currently, just to close that, I do an individual companionship,
right,
where I meet one-on-one with one of the residents of the community every week. And then I do what we call a group companionship, where the house that Beth lives in, it's called Hoffman House, and there is six people who live there. Most of them were former House of Healing residents, so they've been through the House of Healing, and now they're living more independently. Right?
Okay.
But the need for companionship and support, of course, is still there. And so I go, me and some other companions, we go to the house every week, to Hoffman House every week, and spend time with the residents.
Okay.
That's called a group
yeah.
companionship.
Okay, and what kind of activities do you do with the residents?
So I think we tried different activities. Probably the favorite activity is we cook dinner together and have dinner together, which has always been a hit and something that, you know, really brings everybody, just sharing the dinner table and, you know, sharing conversation, cooking together. That has been probably the most common thing we do. There are times when we do movie night or game night. Then if the weather is nice, we've done picnics. Sometimes, you know, we do activities as a group, but sometimes I'll just go out on a walk with one of the residents in the house. We will just go for an hour
nice.
Walk. You know, it's very varied.
Enjoy
it depends
you.
On what people's interests are, and it's flexible.
Yeah. Have you seen a specific example of somebody who's really opened up to you over the course of your time as a companion?
Yeah, I found that, you know, I think I really feel very closely connected to all the people in the house. Now, I've been doing this for 2.5 years at Hoffman House. And so some of them, certainly, you know, it started with people, with me being unsure how to really go into it and how to really, you know, what to talk about or what activities to suggest. And, you know, and the residents also being unsure. And over a period of time, I feel like just, you know, the consistency of being there, you know, coming in week after week, I think people warm up to that. They see that, you know, that it's safe, you know, that we are all here to just connect together, and there isn't there isn't anything else that's happening, and I think people start relaxing and you know, I've made some beautiful I've made many beautiful friendships with people who, you know, are at the Hoffman House now, and some people who were at the house and have moved on since to, you know, more independent housing, what have you.
And what has been the most inspiring thing to you as you've worked as a companion?
It's just been, you know, really wonderful to see how people, you know, all of us together can just, you know, I would say just come together in love is probably the best way I can describe it. Just, you know, when people are all together, everybody's just comfortable, everybody's looking out for each other, there isn't a, you know, and, you know, and if somebody's having a bad day, that's okay too. You know, there's nobody out there trying to say, oh, you know, let's, you know, so it's, people are there through the ups and downs, and slowly over that period, I think that building of trust, you know, and I can see that, you know, people feeling more comfortable and me feeling more comfortable, you know, and other companions who've started later, you know, started more recently and are now really starting to enjoy, you know, coming in and starting to contribute, bring their ideas. So it's really amazing to see how, you know, how this model has really enabled people to build trust and open up and enjoy each other's company.
Absolutely. And building trust is such an important aspect of lending your kind voice to the community. So we really appreciate that, Sanjay. Thanks so much. And we need to take another break. So when we come back, we'll talk a little bit more about the permanent supportive housing.
Excellent.
There's nothing wrong with reaching out when you need. I'll be there for you, and maybe you can be for me. With a kind voice, a few kind words, an open ear for when you need to be heard, a warm heart, we can make that choice to be a kind voice, a few kind words.
Hi, I'm Kathy King, founder and executive director of Canines with a Cause. And I use my kind voice to create awareness of the importance of companion animals in our world and their ability to heal a broken soul. Canines with a Cause rescues dogs from local animal shelters. The dogs are placed with incarcerated women where they live and train as comfort companions or service animals for veterans battling PTSD. We also provide free training classes for the veterans, which enables them to develop skills to train their own dogs and become experienced handlers. The dogs provide the veterans with many benefits, simple companionship, motivation to get out of bed in the morning, and unconditional, non-judgmental love. Learning to train a dog also helps the veterans out of their homes and get involved again in civilian life. It helps them develop emotional coping skills and resiliency. The dog and handler create a strong bond through working together, and the dog is trained for specific tasks to help the veteran lead a more productive, less stressful life. Canines with a Cause strives to make the world we all share a kinder, more connected place. We do this by healing through unconditional love. Separately, it's difficult for a dog in a shelter, an incarcerated woman, or a veteran suffering with post-traumatic stress disorder to share their kind voices. But by creating a channeling process to bring them together, they can be a kind voice to and for each other. If you would like to know more about Canines with a Cause, visit our website, canineswithacause.org. Thank you.
A Kind Voice Radio.
Hello and welcome back to Kind Voice on Employment, Opportunity, and Innovation. I'm David Levins.
And I'm Jessica Grinspan, and tonight we're here with Jacob Duvenga, and we also have Chris Wilshinsky, Director of Community and Social Services for Plymouth Healing Communities in Seattle, a nonprofit organization that provides companionship and advocacy to people who have struggled with homelessness and mental illness. How are you guys doing?
Yep,
doing really good.
Good deal. And as I'm listening, I'm hearing that you guys have a really terrific program, but it's also kind of a partnership between your program and the people who work there and the residents to make it all work. So what kind of attitudes from the residents help make it work for them?
I think what I see a lot in residents that do really well at the house is just a dedication to the opportunity to really have some time to be with themselves and work towards like recovery and kind of moving through the intensity of the moments that led them into the hospital, as well as engaging in the community. There are a lot of really amazing people who are a part of our community. And for some people, it's really difficult to access and to trust those, all the individuals. And I think people who have a willingness to be vulnerable and to step in and engage with others, they get to step into this wonderful support network, community companions, and staff and residents alike.
That's a very wonderful thing.
Yeah, and do you guys have any connections with organizations either in Seattle or otherwise in the country who are doing similar work?
There are other organizations that are doing similar work. It isn't something that we are partnering with people every day. Our primary partners that we work with are Harborview, who is helping provide the mental health support. We also have a lot of other organizations that are helping to provide like some financial support, some manpower in terms of coming and helping paint their house, or a university in Utah that has come and helped people clean their apartments and get back to stable living within our permanent supportive housing houses, as well as a thrift store that's in North Seattle that provides people a lot of like clothes and utensils and things to help them move into their own apartments. So we have a lot of partnerships of people that we're working with, but not necessarily other organizations that are doing similar things kind of around the country.
Okay. Well, you mentioned the permanent supportive housing. I wanted to talk a little bit more about that. So how many buildings do you have as part of that?
We own 2 apartment buildings and 2 houses, and then we also manage three separate apartments. All in the 3 apartments are in Beacon Hill next to our House of Healing.
Okay, and how has the permanent supportive housing grown as you've had more residents come through the transitional housing?
It has grown mostly through opportunities. We began with the House of Healing, and then we were presented with an opportunity to purchase or take over the lease of these 2 apartment buildings that are in 2 other neighborhoods in Seattle. And then that there was also opportunities to purchase or take over lease of 2 other homes that are in the Seattle area. So there's been a lot of opportunity. We also recently just purchased the house right next door to the House of Healing, and we are working on renovating that house, and it'll also become 8 additional units of permanent supportive housing, or 7 additional units of permanent supportive housing when it comes into operation next year.
Oh, okay. And is that the Eng House? Is that what it's called?
That is the Eng House, yeah. Jack Eng and his wife have been neighbors of the House of Healing since we opened. They lived in the house. Their family built that house, and they were going to sell it and move in with their daughter. And so we approached them to see if we could purchase the house from them so we could expand our housing.
Yeah, that's a great story. What does the house look like?
It's the exact same house as the House of Healing, and they are just opposite of one another. The dining room is the same.
Okay.
All the structures, the molding, all of the house is the same. When we took over the House of Healing, we added a little square footage to the main floor to add space for an office and another bedroom. And then we made some of the bedrooms smaller so that we could fit them. But it's the exact same, like, square footage, the exact same house. It's kind of amazing.
Oh, okay. Yeah. And so is independence the long-term goal for the residents who come through, or is it semi-independent?
I think it depends on the definition of independence. I mean, when people come to the House of Healing, they're definitely in a more supportive space where there are 4 companions and 4 residents. When people move into our permanent supportive housing, they are living independently. And some people are working, some are not. Some people are working towards employment. For some people, they likely won't move into employment but will continue to live in our housing. Some people might move into their own apartments at some point, but for the most part, people will stay in a subsidized system because extremely low income, mostly making income just via Social Security or it's called GAU funding, but it's $197 a month that people will receive in terms of their funding while they're living at the House of Healing. So it makes market rate of apartments pretty unattainable.
Right. And so from your perspective, working with Plymouth Healing Communities, would you say that things are getting better for people who have struggled with mental illness and homelessness?
I mean, that's a really big question that we're wrestling with in a huge way in Seattle. We have been working really hard to try to address the homeless crisis that is happening in our city. I think that there's a lot of things in our world that foster isolation, and that can really be challenging to people. I think what our model does is we create this whole supportive network for people who are involved in our community, and I think that in and of itself is really helpful, as well as just offering a lot of stability and regularity of appointments and bus tickets to be able to get there and housing that's regular and stable. So there's a lot of organizations that are doing similar things that are also providing that stability to people, but it is just a continuing crisis that's happening in our city and actually around the country, I feel like.
Yeah, and progress isn't linear, but every little step. What would you say has given you the most hope while you've worked with this organization?
for me, I think what's given me the most hope is just seeing its impacts. I think seeing people who have been connected to our house for so many years and who are reaching out when they're needing help and getting that support as opposed to things like falling apart completely, that feels really good. I think also what's felt really good is just as an organization, I think is really dedicated to supporting people, staff, and the folks who are serving alike. And I think that feels really hopeful to just see the dedication of our board, to see the dedication of our volunteers who are all helping kind of work in this mission.
Yeah. And kind of seeing past the labels and the stigma and just all interacting with each other as humans is just, you know, the most important part. We're all people and we can all share our kind voices with each other.
You can walk into any of our houses or apartments and really not have much of a sense of who came to be a part of our community, if they're a companion, if they are a resident, if they are a staff member. And I think that's pretty amazing. Everyone is just meeting at a very human level.
Yeah. Transcending boundaries. Wonderful thing. Yeah. Is there anything else that either you or Jacob or Beth or Sanjay want to share about Plymouth Healing Communities or how people can reach out and help your calls?
Yeah, there's always opportunities to be involved if you're in Seattle. Definitely reaching out and coming as a volunteer, bringing meals to the house to help share. We have shared meals every night at the House of Healing. There's ways to donate online or through Global Giving. There's also ways to come and be trained in companionship and bring that into how you enter the world as well. So there's a lot of ways to be involved. We are always searching for volunteers of many sorts. We're always searching for like goods that we can give to people as they move out into their own housing. But reaching out to us and letting us know that you have interest, and then we will happily involve anybody interested.
Yeah, that's excellent. Great. And Chris, well, thank you so much for all that you do in the community and transcending barriers and bringing people together. It's a really great story. And it's been wonderful to talk to all of you.
Thank you. It was nice to talk with you as well.
All right. Well, thank you very much. And that's all for tonight on A Kind Voice on Employment, Opportunity, and Innovation.
Yeah. Can we hang up?
Well, hello, fellow soldier. How's your day? Come take my arm, let's walk and sink away. I want to know your thoughts now, yes it's true. And that blue bird, he flew by now just for you. Step outside, you don't know who you'll meet. Bones. kitchen sure tastes sweet. I'm glad that you're acquaintance. I didn't